Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
As we continue in our series, Reshaping Society's Culture, Both Church and Community, today's message is Power in Agreement. Power in Agreement. And I'm now at Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 20. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 to 20. And here's what Jesus is saying to the disciples. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. Then if he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. Verse 18, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Verse 19, I also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. Amen? Just tell somebody, he's here among us. Tell it to somebody, he's here among us. Folks, there's power in agreement. And there's so much authority and power that is given to the church when we are in agreement with each other under the word of God. The essence of the word agreement is this. There must be harmony, consensus, unity, and a true desire to move towards like-mindedness. Now, he didn't say looking like each other or speaking like each other or cloneness. He says like-mindedness. And see, we all love people who are like-minded like ourselves. And there's something refreshing about it when there's a developed understanding of each other. Those that have been in marriage for a long time, you understand this. You come to the place where one will start speaking and the other will finish. Or one will be about to do something and the other will know why. And it's same in friendships. How many have friends who they so get you that they could finish your sentence? Let me see a hand. That's the blessed ones. The church is the body of Christ, which means there's a requirement that we work together in agreement with each other, strictly based on the word of God. It doesn't mean that we'll be in agreement about everything. I love how the Bible is totally holistic. God, yesterday I taught in our leadership development, there will be conflicts because we're people. But even in the Bible shows us what to do with conflict. Even Paul had conflict with John Mark and they resolved it and he blessed John Mark in the end and had John Mark come and serve him. So there's nothing we can ever go through that is not recorded in the word of God. But nothing binds people together properly like the word of God. The word of God is the super glue of life. And when we revolve around the word, that's why we need to have proper understanding of the word. Recognize there are different philosophies and ideologies now wrapping itself around the word. Those of you that are older, remember there was a powerful preacher named Carlton Pearson. And along the way, he got so big, he started to compromise even the word of God. How many remember that? And so, folks, the younger ones, you're seeing it now with a lot of pop-up preachers because everyone can Instagram and everyone can do all these different things to get an audience, but not everyone is in agreement with the word of God. So we must be in agreement with the Word of God, agreeing with the essential components that the Word says that is non-compromisable. And we can't do that unless we choose to work together. And we have to, just like in marriage, you got to learn to laugh at some things. If you don't laugh at some things, you stress over everything. How many spouses, you just got to laugh at your spouse sometime because it's the only way? Come on, let me see. Couples, come on. If you don't laugh at it, you're going to kill each other. We have to laugh at each other's fault, make light on some of it. Why? Because no one is perfect except Christ. No one is perfect except Christ. And so, folks, when we recognize no one is perfect except Christ, we should stop looking for people to be perfect. How many of us are looking for somebody else to be perfect and we are so imperfect ourselves? Like-mindedness works between people who are intentional in not being judgmental about each other, but are apt to cover each other's faults, to fill in the gaps, and to see where there's a lack and to fill it, to cover over each other's faults so that there is peace, harmony, and consensus. Can I say an amen this morning? 1 Peter 3, verse 8 to 9 says, finally, all of you, be like-minded. Look at this, a powerful verse. This is one for you to keep. Be like-minded. Be sympathetic. Love one another. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. How many of you have heard people go, they did this to me, so I'm going to do worse to them? You've heard it. And even in the kingdom of God, we see that. Evil for evil. The Bible does not advocate that. He says, on the contrary, repay the evil with a blessing, because you will inherit a greater blessing. That's why sometimes you just need to take the bad thing and say, God, help them, heal them, deliver them, bless them. And bless me, Lord, for putting up with it. Come on now. It's a command in the Word of God. Unstoppable things happen when people come together in unity and prayer, because God's power is then released. So we take these things and we take it to prayer. We don't take it to someone else to gossip and backbite. We take it to prayer. When people harm us, we take it to prayer. Of course, you may share it with your spouse or your best friend to ear your mind, but you don't take it to them to gossip it. You take it to pray. And if you're not going to pray about it, then don't say it, because there's no answer. The friend or the spouse can't help you if you're not going to pray about it. So folks, when we come together, we experience greater blessings. I'm so thankful to God because I see a new like-mindedness here that is so powerful. And we're just watching miracle after miracle come. And I pray those of you that have come in new, come into the like-mindedness under the Word of God and the spirit of praise and prayer, because that's all we're about. That's all we're about. Hallelujah. Last week, I shared from Matthew 18, 12 to 14. That was January 14th. It's online. And it was about love in a supreme way. And Jesus told the story of the parable of the lost sheep, reminding us that as Christians, we have a responsibility to go after the one and let the 99 look after each other. So we go after the unsaved, after the backslider, after the one that's lost, after the one that doesn't know Christ, because Christ is interceding for us. When we come into like-mindedness about that, we will win all of Durham. We will win all of Ontario. We will win all of Canada, because like-mindedness will say, we're not focused on what my needs are. We're focused on the kingdom of God. So now Jesus moves from that text and ends in verse 14. Verse 15, he starts and he's addressing now. Last week, he was addressing the response of the church to the one lost sheep. This week, he's addressing the response of the sheep in the house to each other. So he's saying when the 99 are gathered and the shepherd is going after the lost, there'll be a lot of bickering and biting, butting and shoving, and sheep knows how to bite sheep. Nobody got that? Sheep bites. Did you know sheep can bite? sheep bites. And when sheep is angry, sheep butts and bites. So folks, Jesus is addressing the inner relationships now among the believers who are to be a testimony of God's grace. Why? So we can impact society and see change of culture, change of behavior, and change of relationships. So he addresses the Christian believers, all who are of the sheepfold of God. And that's every one of us here, because if you are not of the sheepfold of God, you would not be hearing this message. You would still be out there wondering, who is God? And so believers, there's a godly behavior required of us because it affects positive growth. It affects positive growth. And in this harmony affects the effectiveness of the church. We either affect the church positively or negatively. So when we're working together harmoniously, there's positive growth. When we are in disharmony, we affect the growth of the church. Even the lost sheep can't stay, because when the lost sheep comes in, they're confused as to, is this the church or is this the bar I just left? Anybody with me this morning? The purpose of the church is to proclaim God's power, but also to honor God's reputation, to guard moral purity, to defend the doctrinal truth of the Word of God, demonstrating it personally by our lifestyle, but protecting the truth by not compromising ourselves. And that is why the Bible speaks vividly about disciplining members. If you read there, it says discipline the member, because without such discipline, there's no protection to God's truth and God's word in the house of the Lord. There's no moral purity. There's no endorsement of foundational belief and principles. When that is removed, there's no safeguard for the church. And in this day that we live, there's going to be a lot of pull on the church to remove the safeguards of the Word of God, to compromise on moral purity, to let everything and everybody in, to have no boundaries, to have no doctrinal truth, to have no foundation. There's going to be a lot of pull on the church for that, but we need to recognize the Word of God is unchangeable, and we have to stand together in it. These are hard issues to contend with, but society is already broken down because no one wants to deal with the hard issues. So we have unhealthy compromise, and it's expected at all levels. It's easy, folks, to compromise without conviction. Very easy. When there's no proper conversation, unhealthy things happen, and then we begin to see the slide away, and then you're going to have to do a song and a dance to keep the church full, and next week you're going to get a new dance, do the hop step, and you're going to learn all kinds of things and bring in all the smoke and the lights, and you got to bring it in. Folks, you know what we have in here? We got Holy Ghost power, and it lights up the house. Glory be to God. So I want to encourage us, each one of us, we have a responsibility. Now I know many of you, I won't take out membership because no one's going to judge me. You protect yourself when you come into membership, because there's a moral purity that you begin to strive harder to hold, because you have a responsibility to an entire body that you belong to. Membership is not just numbers. It is about you. It came from the New Testament, and it's about you saying, God, I am going to commit to being a part of something that is foundational and strong so that I safeguard myself from the ploys of the enemy. But when we're broken down and society begins to reject God's law, the integrity of the church is at stake. And when the church doesn't show honor for God's word, no, when we don't guard and safeguard it, sinfulness is excused. It grieves God's spirit. The Holy Spirit is removed, and the church becomes just an entity where people come to have a good time, but not come to be transformed so that one day heaven can be called home. I thought that was a good point. Let me just read how we're going to do this together. Here's what Philippians, Paul the writer says, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourselves. Folks, power in agreement comes when we begin to walk not in a cloned mind, but in a like-mindedness that says we're about the Word, we're about doctrinal purity, we're about the integrity of the Word of God, we're about holding strong and living by the Word until Jesus comes. And so Paul corrected those who were in error, and Jesus is correcting them now. There's a moral and spiritual qualification required to hold the title of Christian. Do you know why the world rejects the word Christian? Because we have not lived up to the moral or spiritual truth that we told them that comes with the word Christian. That is why most times in my preaching, I don't say Christian anymore, because Christian is very loose. I say follower of Christ. A follower of Christ is a Christian, but we're going to have to get back to understanding when we're following Christ, we follow Christ's laws. Matthew is written, but Matthew wrote the words of Christ, and we don't get a choice in changing it. So if we hold wrong motive, wrong action, wrong behavior, wrong attitude, we bring it in and we say, oh God, forgive me, correct me, help me, move me back in. And folks, whether it be ministers like myself, leaders like we had yesterday, or adherents like you, we are called to set an example of purity before the world so they know that God is still God. Thank you. Every believer has a responsibility towards godly conduct. And so here's the real issue, folks. When we come to this place where we don't want to hear any of the difficult texts that Jesus is saying is our safeguard. It's like at home. If you don't have safeguards, you have nothing that you can guide into the future. Here's what Jesus says. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you've won them back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed with two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. If he or she won't accept the church decision, treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. That was a tough statement God was saying, because people in that society rejected, would not come around, didn't befriend. They didn't do anything with corrupt tax collectors or pagan people. The pagan people were worshiping gods that were counter to what God created. And so he's saying, move away from them. Because when we're in Christ, there's only one way, and it's the way of holiness unto the Lord. We're in a day now where you can't speak. I can't call in anyone and say, come, let's have a chat. And who does she think she is? Nobody tells me what to do. I'm coming. I can change church. Folks, that's not the way we grow in Christ. Heaven is our home. Heaven is where we want to go. So, Father, correct us all, help us, because if we don't see it, we destroy ourselves. The passage is not for you to think of how many people that should be hearing this, as many of you are thinking right now. It's for you. Many people right now had somebody in mind, oh, they should be hearing this message. No, you should be hearing this message. Say, come on, say, this one's for me. Online, say it too. You can put it in the chat. This one's for me. Say it in the chat online, because if we take it personally, we change everything. The first discipline that Jesus put there was an earthly discipline to expel the one who refused to be convicted of sin, to repent of sin, to be reconciled to God. Because when you refuse to repent of sin, you invoke a demonic force in your own life, and you walk with that spirit of rebellion against God, which fosters more rebellion. So that was the first discipline. Second was a heavenly discipline. It says, those who refuse to accept the change, they then set themselves up as pagans. A pagan is one who's against God. So they're saying, you set yourself up against God. And then there's a third thing that Jesus gives, because Jesus always gives love, hope, and peace. And the third is this, he says, the spiritual authority is given to the church if you come together. The unrepentant can be bound up in their attempt so that they don't lose their way, and you can loosen them into something new, but it requires a power of agreement. And so here's what he says. Matthew 18, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree on earth as concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. See how Jesus came hard? And then Jesus gives hope. What does he do? He says, listen, we all have to clean it up so that we are representing moral purity and spiritual purity. And he says, but if one refuses, then you come together and bind up the force that is keeping them controlled. And if you bind it on earth, it shall be bound in heaven. And then what do? You loosen on them the spirit of truth, the spirit of hope, the spirit of love, and the spirit of salvation. He says, if you loosen it on them, it will be loosened on earth. Folks, what Jesus went from was, remember, I sent you out to go find the one. Now the 99 are in and some are squabbling. He says, gather together in prayer, not in gossip, because then you are also a sinner. But gather together and pray that God will loosen them upon those who are not hearing and adhering to the word. Loosen on them the spirit of Christ and the hope of Christ so they will conform to the moral and spiritual purity of the word of God, and then we all win. Come on. Thank you. Thank you, Derek. So, folks, we strive to be Christ followers. And I want you to remember this in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Would you stand with me? Remember who you are. For you're a chosen people. You're royal priests. You're a holy nation. You're God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Father, I pray, God, over your people online and in-house, that we would remember who we are. We're chosen by you. We're called to be royalty. We're not just simple people, we're royalty. We're a holy nation. A nation is not one. It is a collective of people who understand and are like-minded in their pursuit of what they believe is the strength of their nation. We're the nation of God. God, we're your own possession. The devil doesn't own us. We're possessed by Christ. And as a result, we get to show the goodness of God to everyone. For Lord, you called us by your divine mercy and grace out of darkness into your wonderful light. Many are still looking for that light, and we are called into it. So we thank you, Lord. So Father, we just ask today, speak to every heart. I ask God, speak to every mind in the name of Jesus. Everyone standing right now, I want you right now, this is how we're going to close. This is not a message for who you're thinking of. It's a message for you. So I want everyone to pray now and say, God, you know what? One of the things we miss in here, judge yourself first. We're so good at judging others and not helping others, but judging. Would you ask God, God, take the mole out of my eyes so I could see my sin, my fault, my failure. I'm so good at seeing others. I can see everything that Misha's done. Oh, Misha. I can see everything Jadel's done. Oh, Jadel. I can see everything Christy's done. Look at Christy. I can see everything Samara's done. Oh, poor Samara. But what about me? What about me? If we start with us, everything changes. So I want you, you've got a minute or so. Would you now begin to ask the Lord, take the mole out of my own eyes, God, and show me, God. Show me. Show me, Lord God. Show me, oh God, show me what I need to change, what I need to fix, what I need to repent of. In the name of Jesus, show me, Holy Spirit. Show me, Holy Spirit. Oh God, show me, God, even as the leader of this church, show me what I need, oh God, to purge out of my own life, that I wouldn't just see the church and the faults and the things, but I would see what I need to do as a leader to stand, oh God, with a spiritual strength before you, that when I bind loosen things on earth, it will be bound. And when I loosen things on heaven, it will be loosened upon, oh God, not just a congregation, but a nation of people. Oh God, because you're with me, I will not fear. I will trust that your love is with me. Your joy and your peace overwhelms me. And I'm sent, oh God, to be a blessing among the body so that each one of us will go for the lost sheep in the name of Jesus. Holy God, thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.